Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. This is Kevin Boileau, Nazarita Goldhammer, Epis Radio, Radio for the Thinking Person. Here we are. It's August 29th, year 2022, I believe, and we've been at it 9 years or so. I think we start our 10th season in just a few months. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And so we're trying to construct thinking toolkits about living. And this really goes back to the Socratic question. In the West, how ought I live? And it's really the same question in the East, proposed in different ways. How ought I live? And so there's a moral imperative, cognitive imperative, aesthetics. So we've been trying to cobble together in various ways the beginning of a conversation about a new way of being a human being and how this changes the way we think about design, the way we think about sociality. Democracy is imperiled right now. There's a lot of people who don't understand the law, and they don't get, unfortunately, what's really happening. And so we're moving to an even worse, oppressive, totalitarian state in which most people really don't have a voice, and they don't think they have a voice. So we've talked about our books on violence, our books on humanism, books about the Western Enlightenment, talked about a lot of work that we've done in the past. And we started last week a set of shows entitled The Interrelational Self and Intimacy with Nature. So interrelational self became a really important topic to us, certainly the whole radio show of 9 years, but definitely over the last couple of years. You know, people want to know if global warming is real. They want to know if they're imperiled. A lot of people are worried about their stuff, their house, their money, their way of life. And so that's completely the wrong way to be. Living in fear and anxiety does not solve any problems. When we are in our reptilian brain or limbic brainstem, we don't think creatively, and we don't think our way into a new way of being, which is really unfortunate. So one of the things we are going to have to deal with as human beings is our anxiety. But let's talk about intimacy with nature. And the reason for it is because we feel like we can't do a really good, nonviolent, sustainable, creative design unless we take into account the interrelational truth of our being. And unless we get real about what's really going on, right? Like the facts of the matter. There's a lot of false information out there, but there's a lot of true information. So since 1970 or so, more than 50% of our wild animals been lost. That's in the last 50 years. We've lost, I think, it's under some configurations, it's 60%. And we did that. Nobody else did that. God didn't do it. The devil didn't do it. The animals didn't do it. We did it. And so what happens is every time you put individuals, populations, and species at risk, you chip away at creative, rhizomatic solutions. And that's what we're doing. We're whittling down the human experience even more. And Nazarita and I we could talk about this a lot. We're incredulous about why the average conversation doesn't include biological diversity. You know, test yourself, the last party you're at, the party that you're going to go to, the social event. How much do you talk about these things? That's one way to kind of bring yourself into the conversation. We as a whole, treat animals as standing reserve, a reserve of standing resources. We treat humans like that, laborers. So what happens is that we've destroyed a lot of wild country in the world. They're all vanishing. And so what we have, if you look at land mass or biomass, almost all of the planet Earth now is humans and cattle. And I was really astounded when I learned that, and I had to review it, of course. And it is true. Most of the biomass in the planet now is humans and cattle. Does that strike anybody as just a little bit odd? Certainly that cuts down on diversity. 20% of the Brazilian rainforest, the Amazon rainforest, has been destroyed in the last quarter of a century. It's destroyed. All those species, all those animals, we're talking about probably in the order of billions, have been eradicated. And we continue on thinking that our own experience is what's important. And we're so embedded in that way of thinking that we don't even know how far inside we are. You know, but when you start to pick away at it for yourself, then you start realizing you're not doing enough for others. Taking care of your family and your friends is not enough. That anybody can do that. That's to be expected. It's not enough. We need to take care of a lot more than that, or we will die. There's no question about it. And then we have this problem where we continue to interfere with the biosphere as a whole, all the ecosystems, with management strategies and planning strategies that always put humans at the top. And we are seeing more and more evidence, more and more scientific evidence. Well, we knew this all along, but now we're seeing so-called scientific evidence that shows animals are just as intelligent as humans and perhaps in various ways much smarter. And if you want to learn about nonviolence, think about that. You know, of course, animals, they have to survive to live, but they don't engage in rampant destruction. No species does that except humans. And so we have a knot, and the knot is being stuck. As a quote by Buckminster Fuller, who defines a knot as an interfering pattern. Now, an interfering pattern, we all get into that. We have a manual for life or a story about the way things go or should go, and it creates a kind of thinking, but not critical thinking. For example, the Pope right now is acting irrationally, not acting intelligently. And for a Catholic to hear that would be anathema, a good Catholic. But the Pope is wrong. The Pope is wrong. And yet he has so much influence over the world right now. We have a knot. People don't want to give up eating meat. They don't want to give up eating dairy. And they don't want to give up using animals or animal products. They just don't want to do it. They're either selfish or they're stupid or they're both. And that's a fact. You're either selfish or you're stupid or you're both. The situation is now dire. And so we have to let go of worrying about social niceties. Yes, we can be nice. Yes, we can try to teach people and give them information. But I think a stronger ethic is warranted now. So we have third world countries who love Western products, and they're addicted to them. So now you have a whole new set of countries who are willing to let go of any kind of former moral rule, spiritual rule, religious rule, because they want to be fat like the West. So we're predicting a noticeable increase in the pressure on the biosphere by third world countries. people can't stop having babies. And whenever I see families who celebrate more than two children, I feel disgusted. I feel repulsed because they're letting their desire to breed with some kind of manual, some kind of story, outweigh the truth of what's going on. The going average now, scientific estimate is that the globe can only handle 500 million to 2 billion people. 500 million to 2 billion people. And we're predicting that we're going to hit 10 to 12 billion people. And that is a lot more. It's just not sustainable. So the kind of story that we're saying here, it's in our way. It's a knot. And so there are people who argue that it's perfectly natural for human beings to be perfecting the world, that the human impact is quote-unquote natural or part of nature. We have we have a very distorted understanding of nature. Now people think it's like someplace you go and you pay money to look. So that's an impoverished view of the whole. And then we have really, unfortunately, people who are not very smart. They might have a few degrees, but they're actually not that smart, who continue to argue that economic growth is important and good. Capitalist value of economic growth is good. These people are wrong. They're wrong-headed. Their reasoning is flawed. And they're usually operating out of selfish interests, people who talk like that. But they're not that smart. And that kind of thinking about unlimited human expansionism has already gotten us into trouble. Where if you do just a quick search over the last 72 hours about the flooding in the African country Chad, the flooding in Mississippi, the recent flooding in Yellowstone, flooding in California, there's flooding in Arizona, and many more places, many more. And it's going to happen, these global events. And people don't want to take any responsibility. They say these things, well, it's my right to have a family. It's my right to provide for my family. It's my right to go to church. It's my right to be the best practitioner or worker. It's my right to keep the fruits of my labor. And that kind of expansionist, totalitarian thinking is what's got us in trouble. And there are people, unfortunately, some of them are in the mental health industry and others are in the medical industry. And they really, truly believe in their gut that human growth and human actual self-actualization is a good thing and it's important and we should aim for that because that's going to solve all of our problems. Again, it's false. It's an illusion. Instead of me reading the self-help books and going to the sanghas, the seances, the witches' cauldrons, all the groups that one might go to for emotional and psychological growth, let's just stop right there. Let's just stop right there. There's a lot more importance in putting that to the side and getting busy participating in the world. We don't have time for you to go transform and for you to self-actualize. We don't have time anymore. That time is over. And now instead of being narcissistic, we need to shift our focus outward. Well, that is the inner relational self. That's the title of our radio show. I'm here with Nazarita Goldhammer. Nazarita, good to have you on the show. Please, what do you think?
Well, it's always interesting to me that irrationality enters into something that should be so rational, especially when we're talking about climate change. Everything, all the natural disasters that are going on that could have been avoided because of our I would say, our dedication to meat eating, to cattle, to eating dairy, chickens, and fish, that what we've created is the human created a natural disaster, the perfect storm. Trees sequester carbon dioxide and they produce oxygen. Now, if anybody heard that, if they really thought about that, they would say, wow, we need oxygen to survive. And yet, the opposite seems to be true in our world, where we're cutting down all these trees, the rainforest, which is the lungs of the earth. And it can't help but have negative consequence. And yet we let someone and we let big companies cut down the rainforest so that cattle, which produce more methane than almost anything in the world, destroys the environment. We're letting that happen. So one of the first things, of course, and there's lots of arguments on meat eating. And as you say, people are apt to say, well, what if I eat just a little? It's not going to make that much difference. But remember, cattle eat grass. They eat plants. And so, the humorous point is just cut out the middle person and just eat the plants, because that's really, really what cattle and all big creatures eat are plants. You don't need the protein from meat. As a matter of fact, meat eating, just I think it's like 6 ounces, less, even eating 6 ounces of meat increases the cardiovascular disease by over 50%. Now, if you knew something caused early death, diabetes, pneumonia, serious illness, heart disease by more than 50%, wouldn't you think that you would stop doing that very thing? But in our marketed world, our consumer world, people still consider that to be something that they have to have, that they need for health. And yet it goes against the very things that are proven to destroy our health. We're consuming, people eat meat, fish, dairy, are consuming things that are destroying their health. So it doesn't matter how much you do, you can do all kinds of exercise and everything like that. But if you eat meat, dairy, chicken, you are going to have a 50% increase in the risk of cardiovascular disease, and diabetes, and pneumonia, and other serious ailments. So when you look at that, you just think, what is the rational approach? It always amazes me that people can be so irrational about something that we have an opportunity to stop. Like, we can stop. And, it's kind of like the smoking. Smoking, everybody knew smoking caused lung cancer, that it was really bad for your health. And yet people persisted in smoking, and the big companies swore under oath that it didn't cause any of these things, but was later found to be complicit in lying to the public. Just now, the public is being lied to about the benefits of meat, dairy, chicken, fish. They're totally being lied to. And so when we look at this, why are we so alienated from knowing the intricacies of nature? Why are we not looking at trees to say what trees do? This is what water does. We talked about water last week, because water is intrinsic to every living thing. And yet we're polluting our water. We're like going to the bathroom in clean water, and water is running. We're having droughts all over the world. And yet we persist in some behaviors that are causing us, we're going to die. The human race is going to be extinct. The earth eventually will recover at the expense of so many beautiful plants, trees, animals, fish, will go extinct because of humans. And so when someone embraces any kind of spirituality, any kind of positive thinking, that thinks they want to do no harm in the world, that they want to spread love and compassion and peace, and yet the actions go totally against doing that very thing by eating meat, chicken, fish, dairy, cutting down trees, polluting water, overconsumption. This is what caused this. This is a state that we're in. We're in a nihilistic state where we're at the mercy of these few heads of companies that nobody wants to challenge anymore. Nobody thinks that they have a voice, but we do. We have to stop it. So California just passed electric cars by 2035, where you can't buy a brand new gas-powered car. You can certainly buy old ones. And so all these laws are meant to push people in the direction that they think would be better. And yet we could stop that right now, and yet we choose not to. So I'm always intrigued by the way people choose in the face of explicit evidence that it's contrary to their well-being, that they would choose something that would go contrary to their well-being and everything that they say that they want. And this is part of what we've been talking about intimacy with nature, intimacy in our relationships. A lot of people say they want to be intimate. A lot of people say they want to love the other, and yet their actions go totally against that kind of thinking or that desire. So we're at a crossroads in the human. The human is, you have the moral way that we all want and we all think that we are desiring, and then we have our actions, which are in direct conflict with what we really think we believe. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe it? If we really believed it, we would take action. If we didn't believe it, we would not take action, because you can't not act with something that you actually believe.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to kind of swing around to like another discursive tool that we use, and that's the word freedom. You and I have talked a lot about freedom, a lot, for 10 years on the show. And what we do is we destroy the freedoms of others in order to pretend that we are creating more freedoms for ourselves. And if you look at the way most people talk about using animal products and, eating meat and dairy, taking minerals out of the ground, chopping down wood to buy a new fancy house, sucking water out of the ground, putting them in plastic bottles and selling them. So there's an extractive philosophy. And there are people, they've consumed gallons and gallons of the Kool-Aid because they actually believe it deep in their soul that we have the right to use animals as things. And I also think it's misleading to talk about that, like humans over here and animals over there. I really started to see it in my own misfortunate training is that we're animals too. We're mammalian. But we talk about the other as if there's this big group of beings, and we talk about them in terms of population control and species, but we don't talk about ourselves that way. We really are individuals. And I've gotten to know more and more non-human sentient beings, and I try really hard to listen and to be observant, to try to understand. And they're all individual. They're all different, just like humans are all different. But we have a kind of design now, interior design, exterior design, life design, that's based upon this deep premise that we have the right, the God-given right. God gave us this right. God gave us this right to go out and take nature. Take it and use it, and it's encapsulated in the law, property law, constitutional law. And so we consume, we acquire, we save, and we continue to do things where we eradicate the freedom of others. We take away bodily freedom. I mean, how would anybody here want to be raped and forced to breed, or forced to not move, or forced to be murdered, or forced to produce, you know, milk or blood so that some other species could use it, or viruses or bacteria? What we've done, and we now have the facts. It's irrefutable. We have actually destroyed great portions of biodiversity. We're losing something like 50 to 500 species per day. That's not individuals, that's whole species. So all of the richness of our biosphere is being contracted. And so anytime it's contracted, we're missing little pieces of the puzzle. It'd be like building a house and starting to chip away at either the foundation, concrete beams, or maybe weight-bearing beams on your first or second floor. Just remove them or chip away at them, saw them. And at a certain point, you don't have any kind of a healthy structure. And there's not a person in the world who can make the argument that that's false. It's quite true. The data's here. So one of the issues I see is, as you've pointed out, people are existentially fragmented. Like if you ask a person, well, hey, do you think that in your quest for more freedom, it's okay that you take away the freedoms of others? And they'll say, no, of course not. But then when I ask them how they can ratify that and prove it to me, they can't. They can't. So what it means is that we all have the responsibility all the time to think about our actions and to say to ourselves, gee, I can't see it right now in front of me if I take this action, but I know in principle that I'm affecting others. And quantum physics proves this over and over and over again. We're not isolated. So if I said to myself as a method, I know I'm probably affecting others in every choice I make, I'm going to really start looking into that. And it's not an easy fix. It's not something you fix in a month or even a year. It's a lifetime pursuit to think about how our behavior affects others. Others we will never meet. Others who haven't even been born. So it's more of a life methodology, which makes it a moral topic. So there was a neoliberalist notion of democratic political freedom based on the idea of benefits and burdens, and that we are all participants in this social political economy. For every right, there's a duty, right? And so we built this little false legal and social economy where it looks like we humans have equal freedoms. But in practice, it's not true. That's another falsity. It's a scam. So in other words, the money you make is built off of a system that's unfair. And yes, you have responsibility to clean up some of the dirt. And then the other piece of it, number two, is that we have built these legal frameworks that exclude animals. Now, to my knowledge, mice, rats, and birds are not considered animals under the Animal Welfare Act. We pretend we have what are called fictions in the law. And we want to also fictionalize that the law is applied equally. It's not. And yes, it's true that anti-abortion groups and their God's laws are affecting women more than they are white women. It's just a fact. Let's at least be honest about it. So there's a justice issue there. So if I'm thinking about design and I'm building a design company, I've got to think about what do I want? I have to think about the values that an architectural firm, a designing firm, a building firm could have. We want to think about it. If we don't think about it, then we're unthinking, and that's even worse. So if we're thinking about it, we might think, well, any new construction or renovated construction has to take into account all, not just this pretty little buyer who made some money who's going to go buy a pretty little house because they deserve it. That's the selfish kind of thinking. That's the thinking that's got us in this mess. So we have a population issue. We have an industrialized food production issue. We have local economies that are being eradicated by large companies that are global. So if we don't watch out, we're going to end up in a situation where there are just a handful of super corporations running everybody's lives in the whole world and on the earth. But so when you are a person, you make decisions primarily out of saving money or producing money or anything like that, you're probably buying into the capitalist poison. I'm sorry to tell you that, but there are higher values. And so we just all need to think about it. It's actually not about being critical or criticizing. It is about being critical. But it's kind of an admonition that we all need to look at the whole. And yes, we can change the whole. So we have a dystopian world culture now where we're going to lose more and more large land mammals. We're probably all
still there. We lost you right in the middle of the sentence.
Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Absolutely. Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, so we're in this situation where we've kind of wound up this machine that we're on, right? The capitalist machine that takes and takes and takes. And we better get off of it right away. It's not going to work. It's not working now. And people don't know this, but the situation on this planet is going to get much worse. They're already fighting for land and trade routes in the Arctic. Russia has just reopened over 300 military sites in the Arctic. China is vying for the Arctic, U.S., Canada, Europe, South America. Everybody now wants to go populate the Arctic because it has resources. So I have to think about my daily living. What am I doing? How am I designing my life? How am I conserving? How am I taking steps every day to protect more and more and more? So where does that leave us, Nazarita, with the topics of interrelational self, intimacy with nature, and living as a part of nature, being more honest and saying, I am nature. And I want my living environment to be nature. Not that I want my living environment to be just pretty and have a view of nature. I want to be nature. How do we get there? How do we think about these things?
Well, I think that's really what we're talking about is what is what is the difference between our desire and our actions? And most people would say that they desire to be part of nature, to be in nature. That's why people take vacations to a lot of natural places. I mean, Yellowstone and Yosemite, they have more visitors than ever. And it's because people are alienated, really, from nature. So they take maybe a week, 2 week vacation to get into nature, and then they come back into the same and perpetuate the same kind of living conditions that alienated them from nature in the first place. So part of really uniting with nature and really understanding nature is to understand what others in nature experience, like mice. As everyone must know, there's this huge thing to eradicate all mice. But mice and rats, they are part of every ecosystem that there is. They sustain a lot of other animals, weasels, foxes, coyotes, bobcats, bears, and they're great for the ecosystem. Plus, they're scavengers and opportunistic eaters. So that's why when humans leave their garbage out, they attract rats, because rats and mice are opportunistic, which is really interesting. And then people turn around, humans turn around and blame the opportunistic eater who wants garbage because you've left it out as something that is bad and that they have to eradicate instead of changing their nature. So the first thing in uniting and really digging deep into how we want to interact with nature and be in nature is to take education, information about the natural world, and really understand and respect it. As you know, I'm part of a group, Yellowstone, part of Yellowstone. It's on Facebook, Invasion of the Idiots, and people do absolutely idiotic things. They go to pet bison because they just think of them as some furry animal. They have no understanding of what a bison is or how they live. And I think that's part of our alienation. When you don't understand another, you can't actually give them the freedom, and you can't control them. You have to really understand. It's understanding your environment, understanding yourself. That's what I believe is the biggest part, education.
So education, right. And that's a really good point, because most education doesn't focus on these issues. We have really highly theoretical classes in moral theory and ethics. They offer case studies, principles of various kinds. And, I know because I taught them for decades, and I know them as well as anybody. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that it doesn't work. That kind of education doesn't work. Because, even in the Socratic dialogues, Socrates asked the question whether morality can be taught. And it's a really it's an important question. You can't really teach morality, really, as a school topic. I mean, it's helpful, but there has to be more. And the more comes from interrelational thinking, like where we have more teachers teaching, more human beings teaching the young. But the problem right now is that most adults are violent, complacent participants in a system that's sinking. And there are a lot of parents, and you've seen it in, political skirmishes in this country, the United States, who don't want school to be teaching values. They want to leave that up to the parents. The problem with that is it leads to ethical relativism. It doesn't in any way foster more of an ethical universalism in which we try to come together, and not only as a human species, Homo sapiens, but also as a participant in the great dance of nature with non-humans as well. So it's a really tough question. Let's let that hang. Let's be able to come back to that over and over and over again. So I guess the other piece I'd mention on that, though, is that growth of capitalism that's out of control, which we concentrate more and more wealth into big cities, a few big cities and a few big corporations, you have much less of democratic structure. It's really true. Democracy is on its way out unless we make some changes right away. Because where we're heading to does not at all promote democracy. And I want to be clear with everybody on this show. What we're doing, especially capitalism run amok, does not promote democracy at all. You have lobby groups with massive amounts of money swaying elected officials. That's why we have it. The whole idea of lobbying should be completely outlawed, 100%. It has totally gotten in the way of democracy. All of the gerrymandering and voting rights changes in the law are designed to disenfranchise some voters. So here we have this really beleaguered interrelational self. It's very beleaguered. And so people are driven into fear. They're driven into tribalism. Tribalism just means you join a family group and maybe a few close friends, and that's it. And your allegiance to everybody else is much less. That won't work. It will not work. Right now we have a country whose laws were always designed to manipulate the working class, and especially manipulate the bourgeoisie. Make the bourgeoisie a little fat, give them a few extra bucks, buy them a big house with a nice shining lawn, and they'll keep their mouth shut. The working class are manipulated by fear and anxiety. So these are distortions of the kind of interrelational self that we think is necessary. So it's a development in the human being that's necessary in order to create a new kind of design, in order for me to cook differently in my kitchen, or live in my space, or interface with my neighbors, or design how I'm going to live. What kind of products am I going to buy? Maybe I'll buy used. Why would I buy used? Well, it's better on the environment. But there's a group of people who they have, they're self-righteous and they're entitled. And they think that the world deserves to get by them a new everything. And that kind of out-of-control consumerism is definitely propelling us away from an interrelational self and away from an intimacy with nature. So, Nesrita, do you want to make a few closing comments here as we kind of move forward and end out our day?
Yeah. So I sit outside here, and there's a big, beautiful tree. I'm watching this little yellow bird who is eating these tiny, tiny insects on the tree. And I'm watching wasps and bees come, and they're sipping the nectar and eating. And I'm remembering that there was a time when everybody wanted to eradicate wasps and bees because they were a nuisance to humans. And then everybody started discovering that every fruit that we have, every nut that we eat is pollinated by bees and wasps, and that we're killing ourselves. And this is a good example. If we really understand our part in nature, not our control of nature, but our part, what is our part? I mean, I see around me every living being has their part in the ecosystem. What is our part? But that's a really good question. What is the part of humans in the ecosystem?
Well, thank you very much, Nesrita. Thank you to everybody who's been here today. We'll come back next week, and that next week will be September. And we thank you all for being with us. This is Epis Radio, wishing you all a good day and a good week.